All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
This is OG's Geek Stuff, episode 67, because the big guy, he's too cool for the room. He's already on a plane, he's already on his way to San Diego. I say fuck him. No? Is that a little too harsh?
That's
right out of the gate?
That's pushing it right out of the gate, I don't know.
So while debating or thinking about coming up with a name for tonight's episode, we couldn't come up with a name for tonight's episode. So we're going to just call it Comic-Con. On our way to San Diego. That's it. I'll be heading out there tomorrow. Kevin is there right now, getting ready to start preview night soon. And that's the deal. So you don't have to deal with his voice tonight unless he actually does a call-in. Although, much like last year's episode where he was at Comic-Con, one of his call-ins involved him telling us how many people he met on the floor, and the other call-in he did involved no call-in. So I'm not suspecting that he's actually going to call in tonight.
I'm pretty sure he was under the influence during that call.
Of absinthe, perhaps? Is that what it was? He was already playing pirate at that point, I think, but I'm not sure. I think he was already at Penzic at that point. But
he said he was driving. And he was acting under the influence, in my estimation.
He's always acting under the influence.
He's always acting.
It's true. So in studio tonight with me, I have Mr. Fantastic, as per usual, and also our good friend Ken, Pervert Ken, as some of you may know him, here in studio tonight.
Oh, I did not authorize that.
Almost dodged it.
You're never going to dodge that, buddy.
Damn,
I put up
Buffy.
That quarter scale Buffy in my new place the other day, and I checked to make sure the thong was still there, and I fondly thought of you, Ken. So.
It's intact?
It is still intact.
Why are you thinking of me when you're checking out thongs? That's making me a little nervous.
Because you're pervert Ken.
Oh,
kind of just goes hand in hand. So what do we got for tonight? Anything?
No,
we got
nothing.
Anybody bring anything to the table but me?
Let's wrap it up.
All right. So this is the wrap up. Thank you for joining us for episode 60. No, not really.
Today we talked about nothing.
Nothing. All right, so let's get right into the news. Probably some of the most exciting news, maybe, to come out in the past week would be some rumors, information floating around about the Green Hornet movie. For those of you who may or may not remember, this has been a movie that's been kicked around quite a lot in the past 3-4 years. I think Kevin Smith was tied to the project for a very long time. A couple other directors, a bunch of actors have been tied to the project. And most recently, I've heard, read, seen, Seth Rogen is tied to the project to direct and possibly star in the upcoming Green Hornet film.
Seth Rogen from 40-Year-Old Virgin, Seth Rogen?
And knocked up and undeclared Judd Apatow's Seth Rogen, if you want to call him that. I don't know exactly what his... I don't know. I don't know what his acting prowess is. I don't know if he what his directorial skills are. I mean, Green Hornet, that's an iconic action character. Seth Rogen is a funny fat guy friend character. I don't know how that works.
I'll tell you one thing.
Okay.
I know he's doing something right because he's getting way more ladies than I'm getting.
Well, you got to do...
And for a guy to look like that and to get the ladies, I mean, yeah, he's got some money now. But what is it? His personality?
You're not doing enough poopy jokes.
Chicks don't care about that, right?
No, apparently it's poopy jokes. I think that's it. He proved that with Undeclared. He rolled into it with 40-Year-Old Virgin, and he stuck with it for Knocked Up, for those of you who may or may not seen that.
He's got a new one now, too, with the kid from Arrested Development, the young guy. What's that one called? Please, someone help me out.
Superbad? Is that what you're thinking of? Is Seth Rogen in that one?
I think he's the cop in that, isn't he?
Yes. I think you are correct. He is the cop in that. So, yeah,
I'm sorry, officers. Police officers.
That's right. It's a Hot Fuzz ripoff.
Ooh. How was that? Did you see that?
I have not seen that, but it actually comes out on DVD next week, I believe, the 31st. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
very much.
Was a trailer I wanted to see that one.
Well, I liked Shaun of the Dead a lot. So it's the same creative team and actors behind Shaun of the Dead. So
doesn't Ken remind you of the guy from Shaun of the Dead?
Shaun? A little bit.
Of Shaun or of the Dead?
The Dead. You look like the zombie.
Yeah. Got to put on about 100 pounds and we'll have to give you an Xbox controller. But
nice.
Now a little bit of Shaun, perhaps. You got to get that eyes rolled into the back of your head thing going. So aside from Seth Rogen, we also have what appears to be a director tied to the upcoming Wolverine project. We know that this has been a project Marvel has been developing for a while. Hopefully they're developing this in lieu of X-Men 4.
Joel Schumacher.
No, there will not be Wolverine nipples or Wolverine ass in this film.
Brett Ratner.
Sorry. Ooh, no. He ruined the third X-Men film. Mm. And he's got Rush Hour 3 coming out soon. Sorry.
That takes a lot of attention, Rush Hour 3.
Yes, it does.
Well, come on. Nobody understands the words coming out of his mouth. No, Gavin Hood, who was the director of Sotsi, a movie I have not seen. But
Once again?
Goatsy?
Sotsi, Goatsy, T-S-O-T-S-I. Figure out a way to pronounce it yourself.
Lost. No
idea.
Yeah,
I have no clue. Do you have any clue?
I'll meet you over at Tchotchke's.
All right. Is there a phonetic spelling on IMDb for that film, perhaps?
Probably. You want me to look it up, though?
No, not really. I'm not that guy.
Does Joni love it?
Ew.
Stop it.
So Hugh Jackman is going to be involved in the film, obviously, in the role of Wolverine. He's had a lot to do with the actual screenplay and script work for the film. So, I don't know. I think it has some potential. It can't be nearly as bad as, I don't know, X3, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But there has been no other casting rumors outside of him, or even character rumors, really, outside of Wolverine, who's going to be in it. There's a lot of speculation that Tyler Mane will return as Sabretooth because he was he signed a multi-picture contract originally when the first X-Men film came out and has not appeared in one since, right? Since the first one? He was not in the second one, is that correct?
I think they just kicked him to the curb.
They might have.
It's kind of a one-dimensional guy, but not a one-dimensional character. So.
You know what, though? He's a pretty social, fun guy over a couple of drinks.
I've never had drinks with him.
I have, and he's a pretty good guy, actually. A little one-dimensional, I agree with you, but large and scary.
No hint as to what the plot is going to be about?
No, there's some talk about it being that whole Wolverine solo in Canada patch years. Mm-hmm. There's some talk about the Wolverine love story with Mariko being a good possibility, but the latest rumor would be the origin story. Someone has recently registered WolverineOrigins.com. I believe it's WolverineOrigins.com, and I think I think it's tied back to Marvel somehow. So it's very possible that they're getting ready to launch some sort of promotional website for the film. It would make sense, I would think. It's probably the best place to go with a Wolverine film.
They can only go up from here.
I think so. I think so. Wolverine probably the most defined character in the movies, and hopefully
and the third one's
one
sucked.
Of the sharpest actors out of the bunch, too. So.
Definitely. Hugh Jackman definitely has probably the most acting prowess outside of Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen.
Out of the young guns,
definitely.
The most chops.
So that'll be interesting. They're still developing the Magneto film, although no new rumors on that. Who's going to be in it? So
Charles.
Yeah, exactly. But sticking with Marvel films, there has been some new casting news regarding Iron Man. As we know, last week we talked about Sam Jackson being cast as Nick Fury in the upcoming Iron Man film directed by Jon Favreau. Again, I think it's a great choice. Sam Jackson has expressed interest in the role multiple times before, and although in traditional Marvel history, Nick Fury is a white guy with hair, in the ultimate Marvel history, he is a black guy who's bald. So Sam Jackson seems oddly appropriate.
There's a fit.
Exactly.
In the Ultimates, he's drawn to look exactly, especially in the the first ones look exactly like Sam Jackson.
Oh, he's completely based on Sam Jackson. So it really is a perfect fit. The new news, though, is that Hillary Swank is tied to the project now, which really angers and upsets me because I hate Hillary Swank. But she is tied to the project to play Black Widow.
And what are her teeth playing?
I'm not sure.
They're diamond-coated thing that she uses to cut the circle in the glass before reaching in and grabbing the diamond.
I think my biggest problem is that the Black Widow, much like very many other Marvel female characters, is kind of
hot,
sexual, and uses her sexual prowess as one of her weapons, if you will, to get over on some of the men that she's working against and she's spying on. And Hillary Swank looks like a boy.
So
how does that work? Not sure.
The best thing about Hillary Swank was when Jimmy Fallon impersonated her on Celebrity Jeopardy on Saturday Night Live that one time.
Oh, God. I don't even know if I saw that.
Oh, it was awesome.
She is a handsome man, though.
She is a handsome man.
He's got great abs.
You and the abs, dude. You gotta let it go. It's okay.
I'm working on them.
You're working on them? All right. Let's move on to a little bit of Punisher news, shall we, Ken? This is for you.
That's my boy.
It is you. Well, you want to break this news? You know
it. I know it. You pass it on to me, and I'm excited because I'm a fan of the show that the dude is coming from.
Okay.
Double-edged sword on this one, and I'm sure we'll talk about it. But casting is official now on a gentleman by the name of Ray Stevenson.
Okay.
Played Titus Pulo in the HBO series Rome.
Okay, you're right.
And he's fantastic. He was terrific in that series. And looking at pictures of him, he's a outstanding choice, I think, for someone to take over the role of Punisher. If it can't be Thomas Jane, this guy is a great choice.
And it can't be Aaron Eckhart, who I think also would have been a probably pretty good fill-in. No? No?
I mean, maybe because he resembles Thomas Jane a little bit, but
well, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. He's a little...
Yeah, okay.
I'm Tom Jane. So this is going to be a sequel to the Tom Jane Punisher?
Yes.
Correct.
And I don't know what happens, but I'm assuming John Travolta dies in that one. He's in that, right?
Did you see the first one?
Is he even in it?
He is in it, yes.
Oh, see, I saw the trailer. I know he's in it.
In the Punisher. The first Punisher.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing more satisfying than seeing John Travolta die, so I'm assuming whoever's ever put the movie together is figuring, let's give him a payoff.
I'll give him that. All right. Makes some sense. Ray Stevenson tied to this thing. But the double-edged sword portion, and I think you agree with me on this one, Thomas Jane left. Now, Thomas Jane basically became the epitome of what we all expect the Punisher to be. Thomas Jane bails out because of problems with the script. So, we got a new great actor, but potentially still the same
crappy script.
I'm nervous for that.
That's like
thing.
Putting white out over a really big mistake. I mean, I don't, and then, you know, trying to fill in the blanks. I don't think that it works. I think Thomas Jane left for a good reason. And I think Marvel's response should have been to rework it for Thomas Jane rather than just
fix
recast
the script
it
problems because
for someone who's willing to take whatever shit script they throw his way. I mean, that's a bad decision.
Tom Jane doesn't strike me as a type to leave a script because it's like, well, he doesn't have enough face time or it's not as much about him. I mean, he strikes me as definitely the type to really be devoted to getting the story right and having a proper story and really, really telling it right. So I don't think that's the reason of him leaving is because, well, you know, I'm just not cool enough in this movie.
Not only that, but he flat out said it. I mean, he seems like the kind of guy who's going to tell it like it is. He flat out said, look, I'm leaving the project. The script sucks. There's no reason for me to stay tied to a project that I know the fans want if it's not going to be good and I can't put my heart and soul into it. So again, it's just, you know, it's Marvel trying to correct a bad mistake the wrong way.
So my plea to the heavens is that, you know, somewhere along the line, someone will get smart and fix the script. Ray Stevens is definitely an excellent choice. He's a phenomenal actor. He'll be great he'll be great with what he's given no matter what.
Right.
Even if the script sucks. And my other prayer is, you know, the bouncing around of Michael Keaton as Jigsaw comes to light and we lock him in there because I can't personally think of anybody better for that particular thing. But that's more speculation down the line.
That's down the line? Yeah. All right. And speaking of speculation and other rumors floating around out there, the newest one, which has been talked about but not confirmed by the actor himself, Zachary Kinto, I believe it's pronounced, who plays Siler on Heroes, is currently the forerunner for Spock in the J.J. Abrams Star Trek film that's due out whenever that is. So he said he'd love to do the role.
That's a great choice.
Aside from the fact that I think he's really a good actor and he really could play that serious, deadpan, kind of emotionless role that you need to play Spock, I think he looks pretty good too. I think he looks
like
a Leonard
good
Nimoy
Vulcan,
almost. You know, he looks like a Vulcan. He could pull it off. His facial structure is very appropriate for that role, I think. So
yeah, he's handsome.
So that would be that'd be pretty exciting. J.J. Abrams, the film is shaping up. I mean, I want to get through Cloverfield first, which is January of 2008, but Star Trek, we know, will be on the horizon.
Is that the real name of the movie, or is that the code name? That sounds like a code name.
As far as I know, that's still the real name, but it could just be a working title. Although with the film coming out January 8th, 2008, I mean, we're talking about, what, 6 months maybe? Not even? 4 months? 5 months? Yeah. Something like that? I would think they've got to give an official name soon if they haven't already. I think Cloverfield, maybe that's where it's supposed to take place, or I don't know, maybe it's the name of a ship. Who the hell knows? Nobody knows much, but...
I think it's all a lie. I think it's like Blue Harvest. It's a code name. And then at the end, they're just going to, you know, slap on a name that you know, and you're going to say, oh, it's that movie.
Ethan Hawes was right. That's what they'll call it.
Oh, Matt.
Oh, I know. Me. Boo. All right. Speaking of things that are not boo, or maybe it is if you don't like her, Naomi Watts has been tied to the sixth Harry Potter film. Is that correct? The Half-Blood Prince. She is going to be playing Narcissa Malfoy, mother to Draco, wife to Lucius. So I don't exactly remember how significant her role in the sixth book was. It was kind of minor from what I remember, right? And even in the seventh movie, it becomes a little bit more, well,
easy
it becomes
there.
A little bit more prominent easy. For those of you who may or may not have read the book.
Ooh. Don't want to play the old warning there.
Oh, we're playing the warning. Fuck them. oh, she's in the book, all right? I'm giving it away.
Oh, you blew it.
Wait. Don't
Dumbledore
tell me
dies.
Yet. I haven't read these yet.
I'm sorry.
I haven't read these.
Anyway. She will have a role in the seventh film when it eventually does come out. So there it is. So Naomi Watts, Narcissa Malfoy, Harry Potter.
She's hot.
She's Australian, though, isn't she? Doesn't that go against the
no non-English rule? We're positive of that? Maybe because, you know, that Australian accent is sort of maybe kind of a little...
She talks funny like the rest of those
exactly.
UK people.
Exactly. So, I don't know. I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe Rowling finished the seventh book and she said... Cast whoever the fuck you want.
I'm rich. Have a ball.
Yeah, exactly. At this point, who cares? So, I don't know. I kind of like her, though. I think she's a good actress. It is a minor role, but still, you know, it'll give her some screen time in a great franchise. So it'll definitely cement her in there somehow. And kudos to her. In what some may consider the most exciting bit of news for tonight's news segment. It's a little bit of DVD news. We're not going to talk about the useless DVDs that came out this week that Kevin bought because he's obsessive and has to buy them, because really nothing good came out this week, although I'm sure he bought a bunch of stuff.
You only need no Flash Gordon in August. That's
and,
all that matters.
That's August 7th, sir. Mm-hmm. August 7th.
That's all you need to know.
Sir.
We got word this week that a long, long fan favorite television show that aired on MTV is finally getting its day on DVD coming up. The State, which has a huge fan base and huge fan following.
God damn time.
And, well, you know, we there were all sorts of problems with it. I guess there were some music rights,
like
right?
ASCAP issues and whatnot for them.
I had heard, too, that there were some issues between, was it Tom Lennon? Is that his name? The guy that's, or something Lennon, right? The guy that's in Reno 911.
He's the Sheriff Dangle guy.
And then
and
Michael Ian Black, Dangle. Is that the other guy? I had heard that for a long time that there was some friction between the two of them. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know that either of them have confirmed it, but.
Bad blood kind of friction? Or,
oh, wait. You know, I think Dangle's only gay in the show.
The State was the one with the sketch comedy and the famous, I want to dip my balls in it.
I want to dip my balls in it.
In, I guess it was the 10th grade.
Right.
I was in a Spanish class, and we had to do these, you know, skits that you had to rehearse in Spanish.
Okay.
And one of my friends by the name of Dan, a particular wise ass, decided that he was going to do the I want to dip my balls in it skit.
In Spanish?
In Spanish. And I wish I could speak Spanish, but him doing it was hilarious. But there was only one stipulation for him to do it, because the teacher, who was a female, who had to review the skit first.
Right.
And she said, after reviewing it, that this is obscene and you can't do it. And he said, well, how about if I have actual balls with me? And she agreed. So he did it. And when he said, I want to dip my balls in it in Spanish, he had two ping pong balls.
Okay. And that somehow made it okay.
And that made it okay. She's like, it's like FCC logic.
You know what? I mean, kudos to him for pulling it off with her. And obviously, she's dumb as a stump.
I want to know how you say, I want to dip my balls in it in Spanish.
Is there huevos or are those eggs?
No, huevos. Huevos are technically eggs, although I think they may be the derogatory term for balls.
I have heard the ball region referred to as the huevos.
Huevos. Not huevos rancheros, however. Really? That's a little different. That's a breakfast meal.
Well, needless to say, it was hilarious. A hilarious skit to witness live.
I could only begin to imagine.
And Dan, wherever you are right now, I hope you took that show on the road, because it's a killer.
And if you have any film editing skills, I'd like for you to put it together as a skit and perhaps provide it to us to put on the website, because I'd love to see it. So if Dan, you're out there, we'd love to see it. That's all I have in the news segment for tonight. I hope you guys have something, because otherwise we're screwed.
No, I got nothing. Ken, how about you?
I got nothing.
Oh, come on, fantastic. You got to have something. I was counting on you.
No, I have nothing, but I did see this picture of George Lucas sitting around with Harrison Ford on the set of Indy.
All right.
And I can't believe that this is actually news to some people, but...
Okay.
Lucas is wearing this brown t-shirt with a cartoon caricature of Han, and it says, as a subtitle, Han shot first. And this has been like a huge...
Wow.
Story on the internet. And what was most interesting to me is he's sitting next to Harrison Ford, and Harrison Ford, he looks good. He looks handsome. He's dressed as Indy, and he's got grayer hair than I had expected. I mean, well, I know has gray hair, but I figure they can do amazing things these days with the, you know, computer technology and all.
Sure.
But I think, first of all, I have very little respect for George Lucas now. You know that.
Yes.
And he's probably one of the uglier men that I've ever seen, especially now that he has that quadruple chin going on.
Well, he is a lumberjack, and it's okay.
I mean, the guy's got more money than God, so you figure he can afford some kind of plastic surgery.
Not so much.
No.
I don't know, maybe.
Well, the chin reason is an expensive region to have operated on, I've heard.
He grew the beard for that reason.
That just added depth to the giant plane
and
of
shading.
Fat and skin that he has over there. Seriously. You know, bodybuilders want to look buff. What do? They bronze and they tan. I don't know that. That's what I've read.
Okay.
But anyway, Harrison Ford looks good. They look like they're having a good time. Hopefully, shooting is going well.
They're over on the set of Indiana Jones and the Tennis Balls for His Walker.
Yes.
Who the hell knows now?
That's terrible. No, that'll be the name of the sixth film by the time it's all done. No, you know, I'll tell you why the Lucas image is such a big deal. Because the fans have been in such a fervor over the special edition in which Lucas changed it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Lucas going around wearing that shirt, some fans probably take it as a slight fuck you.
He reneged on his reneging.
Take it as a slight, making a mockery of what some fans consider to be a serious situation. And, I don't know. I mean, you know.
And he was in stitches all the way to his local Wachovia.
He sure was. Mm-hmm. Well, what'll happen is next year at San Diego, Hasbro will come out with a exclusive figure of George Lucas in the handshot first t-shirt. It'll be limited to 500 pieces, and it'll sell for $200 a throw at first, and then 3,000 on eBay the day later. So, what else? Anything else fantastic? Something? Anything?
Did we talk about The Watchmen yet? Was I listening for that part?
You probably weren't listening, but no, we did not talk about The Watchmen. So what do you have on The Watchmen?
I don't know, because I lost the window.
Well, you're an ass.
No, it's about Patrick Wilson being confirmed for Night Owl, or as this headline says, all but confirmed. It looks like they've asked him.
Okay.
And he's responded in the positive, but not said yes.
Okay. Now, remind me, fill me in. How or why should I know Patrick Wilson? Because the name sounds familiar, but I can't place the face.
Probably his most mainstream thing you'll know him of right now would be Phantom of the Opera. He played Raoul, the heroic, boyish,
right,
pretty boy love interest of Christine in Phantom.
Okay.
Outside of that, he's been all over the place on Broadway in the Full Monty, Angels in America. Oh, which he also was in the movie version for HBO of Angels in America. So he's been around. Oh, and he dances around with Claire Danes in that commercial for the pants.
Ah, right. Okay, so this is kind of all right. Claire Danes and pants. This is kind of an odd, maybe not an odd, but maybe a big step for him. I mean, Watchmen is obviously going to be a big budget, everybody's eyes are going to be on it type of film.
It's definitely going to raise his geek profile a hundredfold.
And playing the role of Night Owl definitely is pretty pretty important and pretty impressive. So kudos to him if he actually gets it. I hope he does.
When I saw this on the website, it just said, Wilson is Night Owl. Okay. So, of course, going through my head is, you know, which Wilson? I immediately thought Owen or Luke and thought to myself, that wouldn't be too bad.
I just thought, maybe he had a fence in front of his face for half of the movie.
And I went with the volleyball with the blood smear on it.
Guys, they can do amazing things with computer technology.
All good candidates for the role of Night Owl, perhaps. All right, so I think... is that it? Is that all you have for us? Are we going to take a quick break then, and we'll come back with God only knows what for the second segment of this show?
See you in a few.
Straight from your blurry-ass TV to your pasty white chest, ComboBreaker.com t-shirts feature authentic graphics from your favorite old-school video games. Don't waste your money elsewhere. Our shirts are lower priced and give you the quality retro designs that real gamers demand. No cheesy parodies, no weak cultural references. We let the games speak for themselves. So set your TV to channel 3 and blow in that shitty-ass cartridge. Visit ComboBreaker.com today.
Hello?
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm tired.
I'm sorry. So how's San Diego? How's it shaping up so far? Preview night's got to be getting ready to start sometime soon, right?
Yeah, it's getting ready to start in about a little bit over an hour now.
Awesome.
And there's about, I don't know, 30,000 people here.
Well,
that are kind of marching... They're marching them in one door and then upstairs and then across into another part of the convention center.
Well, there's going to be four times that many people there on Saturday, in case you have not heard yet. Saturday is completely sold out, and they're expecting 120,000 plus, I hear. So,
I managed to gain access to the floor.
Look at you.
And I can tell you that it's unbelievable.
I can't wait.
The amount of stuff to see and the amount of things that are going on, and it is positively overwhelming.
Well, I will be joining you in less than a day at this point, and I eagerly look forward to it. But why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've done so far today? You picked up any rumors, or you hear anything that might be of interest to us?
Well, one of the rumors I'm hearing is that somebody has gotten the license to do Heroes figures.
Really?
From NBC's runaway hit show Heroes. Rumor floating around that McFarlane Toys may have gotten the license to do those figures.
Now, we had discussed this previously, Geek Stuff listeners, and that's actually who we predicted would get that license. It seemed to make sense, McFarlane having Lost and 24 at one point. So, Heroes, good for them. I hope they are the ones that pick it up.
Also, some stunning revelations regarding Indiana Jones.
Oh, really?
And, and Iron Man. Apparently, at some point during this convention... They are going to show Indiana Jones footage.
Really?
And apparently, the other rumor is that the first trailer for Iron Man is done, and will be premiered here and introduced by Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, that's awesome. I hope I get the opportunity to check that out. I'd love to see it. So
I hope so too, man. I'm worried about getting to check out anything. It's crazy here. Crazy. And it's only preview night, and there is nothing but people as far as the eye can see. We're sitting now, Liz and I are sitting across the street from the convention center. The convention center, to let you know, probably three city blocks.
Holy jeez, okay.
Long and at least one thick. There are people from lined up in front from one end to the other end.
Wow.
And
crazy.
The geeks are everywhere.
Well, it is Comic-Con, so.
They're in every restaurant. They're in every hotel. We actually bumped into a man who was in both The Shining and Blade Runner. I can't remember his name. I'm pretty sure he's the bartender in Shining.
Oh, God.
And who was also like the head of the corporation in Blade Runner. He's in our hotel.
Nice.
And he stopped to talk to us about the great Stanley Kubrick and other topics. Everybody is here. It's unbelievable.
Well, it sounds like it's a blast. And like I said, I can't wait to get out there myself tomorrow and do some reporting back for the fans for next week.
Right, and tonight, preview night, I'm actually going to drag Liz, kicking and screaming, into the convention to help me purchase some rare collectibles, some exclusive.
I'm sure. All right, well...
That's my plan for preview night.
All right, well, we'll take this as our pre-Comic-Con news bit, and then hopefully...
I have one more little story.
Oh, sure. Share
about this. On my flight out today, a friend of the show was sitting nine rows in front of us and on the opposite side, you know, on the reverse side of the plane.
And who would that friend be?
Friend of the show, Jesse Falcon.
Ooh, but, so you were not within peanut throwing range is what you're telling me.
Nine
rows
I could have.
Probably a little.
I might have hit Jimmy Palmiotti or... Buzz or Mark Texaria or some of the other dignitaries who were on my flight out this morning from the East Coast.
You wouldn't want to hit Tex. He's a little nutty. And the other guys are nice.
He's a little nutty. He's a little nutty.
Yeah.
I love that guy, but he's nutty. So Jesse, at one point I stood up and stood towards the back of the plane where the bathrooms are just to get a little stretch. It's a long flight.
Sure.
And I'm standing and Jesse gets up and turns to go to the bathroom towards me, sees me standing there,
right.
Turns back around and goes to the front of the plane where there's a line of four people in front of him for the bathroom, and the two bathrooms by me, not occupied at all.
So at any point in time, did he come up to you and tell you that despite the fact that you had previously scheduled a seat on the plane, that you were no longer welcome on the plane?
Yeah, that's what I expected. I expected him to come up and say that I was not welcome on his plane because I said bad things about him.
Naughty, naughty bad things.
So that's it from San Diego.
All right.
Liz and I are going to go try to get on the floor as early as we possibly can to what? No, Liz, you have to come with me. There's no getting out of it.
She has to come.
So that's what we're going to do, and then we'll see you tomorrow, and everyone else, we'll see you when I get back from walking the Earth.
Yes, walking the
Earth. Making my decision about Star Wars Galaxies.
Exactly. Excellent, well, sir. All right,
we'll
let you go, and I'll touch base with you tomorrow.
Okay, take care.
Take care, sir.
Bye.
And now for a classic Geek Stuff commercial.
But you got to have friends.
Hey, Kev, we finally got a MySpace page.
Ugh.
It's www.myspace.com/BigKevsGeekStuff.
I can't believe we sunk to this level.
So go there, join up, become one of our friends.
Ugh, yeah, one of our friends like that awful Tom.
Hi, I'm Tom. I created MySpace.
Kev, how do you know what Tom sounds like?
I was just guessing he would sound like that.
And we are back with this episode of Geek Stuff. That was Big Kev calling in from San Diego to tell us that, again, there is a plethora of people there. He said 30,000 people so far. The convention center, three city blocks long, one city block wide, and they are expecting four times that many people for Saturday.
Tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, so pretty intense.
And he's making just as many enemies as friends as usual.
As usual.
Yeah, I know you have a Wii Mat.
Did
you see the Resident Evil game?
I have not yet.
So the Resident Evil, you know the Resident Evil series?
Yes, I do. I'm familiar.
Survival horror series that started on the PlayStation and now that is on pretty much every system you can think of.
It became a Hollywood film franchise.
Are they any good?
I don't think so. The first one was okay. The second one was terrible. And the third one's coming out to everybody's disappointment.
God, it does not take much to warrant a movie.
They're no
Jovovich with
a
gun is that's pretty much what sells.
Well, she's hot.
I said they're no ultraviolet. Let me tell you.
Well, that's anyway.
Yeah, so I wanted to tell you about the novel control scheme that they have for the newest Resident Evil. There's been a long rumored Wii Zapper coming out, and they're going to take advantage of that in Capcom's next Resident Evil Wii game. And it's basically this structure that you clip the Wii remote into the front of and the nunchuck into the back of.
Right.
And using one hand, you manipulate the analog stick with your thumb, and the other one is kind of like the foregrip to a machine gun, and you press the Wii trigger there to shoot the gun. And it looks pretty cool.
Okay.
I think that it's one of those games where finally somebody like Kevin who says, oh, it's all about, you know, baby toys and Twilight Turtles and Mario and things like that on the Wii. Resident Evil's a straight-up hardcore gamer's game. And I think that this is the Wii spin on it, and I think it's good. You get to move with one hand. You get to fire with the other, fire and aim. I don't know how it's actually going to turn out in terms of gameplay, but the premise is cool.
Okay, now, I like the concept.
Yes.
Okay. I like the idea of some sort of docking station to make your controllers into what is essentially a zapper.
Mm-hmm.
But really, couldn't you just use the nunchuck and achieve the same thing? Nunchuck has a button underneath, which would essentially be your trigger, and it has the analog stick. Sure, it'd be a very small snub-nose gun, but really, do you need the docking station to make it what... To me, it seems like it could potentially be awkward, is my concern, I think, having to hold it with the two hands and manipulate the trigger. Because if you think about it, and I'm making the motions as if I'm actually holding it in my hand, I don't know what you're going to pull the trigger with on the Wiimote. It would seem like you'd have to, I don't know, it would seem like you'd have to...
From the picture that I'm seeing here, and this is actually a still from a video.
Yeah,
this one's holding it with their right hand on the foregrip, so in front, and their left hand in the back on the nunchuck.
Okay.
And it looks like there's either some kind of adapter that kind of angles right into the, I guess it's the B button on the bottom.
Right.
Which is the trigger on the underside that you usually do the pointing. But yeah, you make some good points in that. Is it really that big of a deal? Most of the games on the Wii right now are point-and-click games where all you're doing is aiming. The thing that I'm intrigued about is, from this video, it looks like they're using the zapper as you would the old-style zapper, in that you'll kind of hold it maybe chin height, somewhere between chin and waist if you're shooting from the hip and you're playing just for fun like that. And there's a on-screen reticle that's moving, and they're kind of aiming more like a gun than you really can with the Wii remote otherwise, because if you played any other game, if you ever try, and even if it's calibrated correctly, if you ever try to line up the Wii remote with the on-screen cursor, it just doesn't line up, and it knows how it's tilted, so it kind of compensates for you. So flat doesn't mean straight, basically.
Right.
It's more of like a 30-degree angle gets you straight. And it doesn't look like that in this. I'm wondering if maybe they're just using one of the capabilities of the remote and not all of them to do the optical shooting of it. And it's not entirely novel, because the next Time Crisis game that's coming out for PlayStation has a very similar GunCon controller, which is, I believe, the third incarnation of the gun for Time Crisis, which is an awesome game in itself, in my opinion. And it's very similar. It has this kind of dual handle approach and a thing on the back of it that has an analog stick and a D-pad or something and some buttons. So it's not entirely novel,
On but Nintendo's
that's
part.
Where they went with,
on
with
Nintendo's part. No.
GunCon 2, which I for when Time Crisis 2 came out, has the little D-pad on the back for all, for selecting and in some cases movement and all that.
Right, so it still retains the controller ability. Yeah. Basically, it's like that, but it has an analog stick now. But I know the ones that I saw were considered prototypes. But I think personally that this is going to be a better game than that
right.
for some reason. I just think that Capcom, in my opinion, in my experience, has put out more fun arcade-like experience
sure.
On the home consoles. But we'll have to wait and see.
And despite the fact that the film franchise has been a flop, the game franchise has been a pretty big success. So I'm guessing they're banking on it and putting all their effort into it. So
where Time Crisis and Resident Evil are on par with each other, however, mm-hmm. is with the terrible, awful, horrendous voice acting.
Oh, well. Oh,
I don't know if you've ever played them, but they're only trumped by House of the Dead.
Oh.
But if you've ever played any of these games, or if you're yeah. one of those people who's into, you know, sadistic, just torturing themselves with voice acting that's horrible, you've got to play these games.
That what was that, the zombie game in the mall? That was for the 360, I think.
Dead Rising,
that too. That was just
bad acting in that game.
Oh, it was so terrible. And the first 20 minutes of the game, you're like forced to listen to nothing but speech. It was just
great reviews,
almost.
Though.
Where the hell is the Wii lightsabers, damn it? There's really no other reason at this point to have a Wii. They got to make this game.
Well,
this is why they put this technology in our hands at home. They're teasing us.
Well, Hasbro has assured us that they are developing something with Lucas Entertainment. So I'm sure it's on the horizon, but my guess would be that, much like everything else involving Lucas, it's all strategically planned marketing-wise. Mm. And with the delay of the other Star Wars games for next-generation consoles currently around, and with the launch of the new animated series early in 2008, my guess would be that early in 2008, there will be some huge marketing push for everything Star Wars, like they do, mm-hmm. and maybe we'll either hear something about the game or we'll actually see the game. If not, then you immediately have the end of 2008-2009, which is the live-action Star Wars. Really, Lucas is everything marketing. It's all marketing strategy with them, and so I'm sure that they're trying to coincide it with some other big release in order to make it work.
There were some original, when it was still being called Revolution, I think, when they just announced the name, they did show a couple promo videos of people playing and having way too much fun playing it.
Right.
But one of the things that it looked like somebody was doing was playing with a lightsaber or sword, and you actually heard in the background that vroom, that noise yeah. a couple times. And mm-hmm. it really is a no-brainer. I know Lucasfilms, or LucasArts, I guess, has said they're going to be making a game. And I think I've heard that this fall is probably sometime... when we'll see it. There's a game right now called Dragon Quest Swords with a very long subtitle called The Masked Queen and the Tower of Mirrors.
Right.
But it is probably the closest thing that you can get to right now to using a sword or some type of, you know, handed weapon to fight the monsters on screen.
Wasn't there another game when the Wii first launched? Was it something Steel?
Red Steel? Red Steel,
wasn't
yeah.
that a sword-based game also?
That was kind of a first-person shooter where you... pointed the Wii remote in the direction you wanted to fire, and you did move a reticle, and there was a sword that you can pick up and use. But overall reception wasn't the greatest.
Right.
It was
seen
way underdeveloped.
As a first generation, exactly, underdeveloped thing.
So hopefully we'll see the Star Wars game come the fall, and we'll see how the technology has advanced and how it works with the Wii system. And like I said, I'm pretty excited to see the Resident Evil game too. So,
and if you're a fan of video game soundtracks, definitely pick up or find somewhere the Dragon Quest, any of the Dragon Quest soundtracks, because they are some of the best music in all of video games, in my opinion.
All right.
Matt, wrap this up.
We had a bunch of movie-related news tonight. Some news about Wolverine, some news about Iron Man, Hilary Swank playing the Black Widow, even though she looks more like a man than a sexy Russian slave. Wow, that was a Freudian slip. Spy. And
wow.
We have Seth Rogen potentially directing the Green Hornet. And Naomi Watts being cast as Narcissa Malfoy in the upcoming Harry Potter film, as well as The State eventually, hopefully soon, coming to DVD. We talked a little bit about the Punisher sequel and how it was a bad choice to put some white out on the previous mistakes and just recast the Punisher. Again, great actor, poor choice on Marvel's part. Mm-hmm. I think that they should have rethought that. We also had a brief call in from none other than our pal.
Special K.
The big man, live from San Diego. I will be joining him tomorrow. There's 30,000 large there already today. And it should be a good experience. Obviously, we'll report back. We should have hopefully a lot more fun stuff. I think that's going to wrap up episode 67 of OG's Geek Stuff, San Diego.
And on that note, we cue the music.